The Volume.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jenkins and Jones is brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any other fantasy sport, there's a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win.
Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It's Thursday, August 5th. We've got a ton of NBA free agency news to break down. We're going to talk about versus, and we're going to do another edition of Tenable versus Untenable. I'm particularly excited for the quandary I'm going to throw at my good buddies, the Jethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John, and Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler. What's up, guys?
What's up, Bubba's?
Well, again,
quandary. I love that. I love it. I literally salivated when you said it.
Quandary? You like it when I go into the English lit major bag, don't you?
Oh, I love that shit, bro. Like tingle, you know what I mean? Right at the fingertips. You feel what I'm saying?
Synonym shorty at the top of the podcast.
There we go. Big synonym fan here.
The biggest news, obviously, what we're most excited to talk about is Tyler, is there a point to playing the NBA season this year, or should we just let's just have the parade, man, and do another free agency and see if the Lakers win that one too?
Yeah. I mean, A plus, you know, for the Lakers for these offseason, for these pickups that they made. It's just they fill that roster all the way the fuck out. Like you got Malik Monk, a 23-year-old signing a veteran minimum. Like, how the fuck does that happen, bro? A 23-year-old signing a vet minimum, right? 11 points per game, 40% from three, and you got him on a vet minimum at 23. It's you know, of course, we haven't seen them play yet, but that shit doesn't matter when we're talking about bronze teams, right? The whole, well, will it translate on the court? Yes, the fuck it will, the bronze there. We've seen Bron do more with less than he's had on this roster. You know what I'm saying? So I absolutely expect this team to you know, excel and be great and be a one seed at the very least. So, yeah, man, I'm definitely interested in seeing how this shit all comes together and how they actually get out there and play. Absolutely.
Like, how does Rob Pelinka feel dropping that news on a fucking Tuesday? Dick dragging 8 feet behind the nigga when he walk into the office, dog. I mean, beautiful. And I mean, the starting three, like, you know what I'm saying, with Westbrook, Bron, and AD, like, what the fuck Then we got fucking Carmelo. We got the shooter we needed. We talked about that with the spacing crowd is satisfied. You know what I mean? 3 and D. We got the motherfucking verticality. We got throwing oops with Dwight. Nigga, this is Space Jam, bro. He created that squad, nigga. I'm excited as hell. Like, what the fuck, bro? I don't even know if we need to play the season. Do we need to play the fuck? If they say healthy, turn the injuries off in the NBA, and it's guaranteed chip, bro. You feel what I'm saying?
Let me tell you something about Rob Pelinka. Rob Pelinka walked into his favorite restaurant in Santa Monica last night with a glass of very expensive wine already in his hand. Just walked in with his hands up.
They showed a picture of Pelinka making deals and he had 360 waves. Yeah. And I'm like, that's that nigga. There he is. There's that man. That's him. You know what I mean? That is him. You know what I mean? Beautiful.
I think you guys touched on both of them, but what's fun to me as a fan and as someone who's not sitting here with a fucking graph trying to chart spacing out, you know, on the first day of free agency, what's funny is the moves were like, there was a mix of strategic and emotional moves, and I loved all of them. But let's talk about Melo. I mean, Tyler, you talked about it. Like, we might need to add, like, when I walk into my friend's grandma's house, there's a picture of Black Jesus, Obama. We might need to add Melo to the rotation.
Yeah, that Oak Hill and St. Vincent picture. I'm dead ass serious thinking about hanging that up in my crib. Like, those two just mean so much to me as a basketball fan, you know? And them coming together, like, look, bro, if Bron can lead Russ and Melo to a fucking ring, like, those are some of my favorite guys in the league. I'm gonna get emotional as fuck. I might cry. Like, I don't cry about this sports shit, but seeing Bron lead Russ and Melo to a ring, that might get a broke boy a little emotional there. I ain't gonna lie to you, man.
I'm gonna look like a boiled potato, nigga. Like, boiled, nigga. Soggy as fuck in the face. I don't even know if that exists, motherfucker. You know what I mean? I'm gonna look like that, bro. Like, dog, that's so beautiful, seeing them two together. Hella, when I heard that, like you said, like, I don't know if we need Melo, you know what I'm saying, to win. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's how solid I feel that we are. But having him along to do his little jab step and a little footwork and a fadeaway on the way to the chip, I need that, baby. That's beautiful. You know what I mean? Very poetic. The universe is doing its thing right now.
I think as a basketball fan, if you're not happy about that, I mean, you've been rooting for something different than I've been watching. You know what I mean? For the last almost 20 years. 20 years.
Like 03 was when they kind of really, really, you know, burgeoned and shit. And now it's like, you know, 2022 playoffs coming up. It's going to be like 20 years that they've been at the forefront of this shit for basketball fans. And now they're finally playing together. I love it, man.
A lot of teams got good, though.
Well, yeah. we'll get to that, but I do want to talk about some of the other the strategic moves. I mean, Tyler, man, you get Malik Monk to take a pay cut,
right?
When Malik's he's not Monk. In pay cut, like someone told me, he's just doing the NBA career backwards. He's gonna ring chase and then, like, get it out of the way and then cash out.
Yeah.
But what does he do for a roster where, I mean, look, the only weakness on the Lakers was, you know, the roster is a bit geriatric. Mm-hmm. It was, right? I mean, it was older. I trade first ballot Hall of Famers for 23-year-olds. I mean, I was happy with the roster construction, but you do add something when you start bringing in 23-year-old dudes that are hungry, and that I'm not worried about Malik Monk deferring too much the way that sometimes the younger players in the Lakers have in the Bron era. So what do you think he brings to the team, and how does he help, you know, move the needle on the championship, Tyler?
Malik Monk is, you know, he's a 40% shooter from three, and he's also a motherfucker who will yam that bitch on the top of your goddamn head. Like, you know, we picked up, you know, Wayne Ellington, who's a shooter, and you just got to respect the shot, right? Like, you got to close out on Wayne Ellington, and that's it. With fucking Malik Monk, you know, if you close out wrong and he drives on your ass, you might be on goddamn SportsCenter top 10. You know what I mean? That's what Malik Monk brings. Like, he's a sniper from three, and he can drive, you know? So that was a great pickup.
The thing you said, it was geriatric. I would argue it's still geriatric. Who the fuck doesn't want this squad? Who gives a fuck? Look at these niggas. You know what I mean? They're old. Okay, bitch. Yeah. Who else you want on the mother? You, what other team? You know what I mean? Like, nigga, you looking at this squad and finding reasons not to fuck with it? You know what I'm saying? You're doing this whole life shit backwards. You feel me?
You don't win rings with young guys. If you look at all the most of the champions, it's been, you know, you need about two or more All-NBA guys, and you need a roster full of experienced vets on cheap deals. And that's exactly what this roster is now. You know what I mean? So, of course, you know, it's great to have, you know, the couple young guys that are on this roster there too. But, you know, you definitely want the experienced vets and the All-NBA guys. That's how you get a fucking ring.
With all due respect. I mean, you know what I mean? It's fun to root for young players. You love thinking about upside, but like, I'm pretty happy to have Russell Westbrook instead of Kyle. I mean, with all due respect, bro, like, you still have THT. If you need to feel like you're a college coach or something and you were excited about development. Like,
yes. The development.
I think what's funny to me is, when Bron moved to the Lakers, the basketball Twitter world realigned itself to where I feel like it was when we were growing up, which is 50% of basketball fans are Laker fans and 50% of basketball fans hate the Lakers. And the Twitter realigned itself to where that other 50% was simultaneously trying to make the argument that the Lakers are too old to even function as a basketball team. And that the Lakers cheated by putting together such a good basketball team that there should be an executive order on a hard cap to prevent super teams from being formed.
You know, you saw this fuck once you start bringing fucking, you know, financial, motherfucking financial implications you want to see levied. You know, goddamn, motherfucker, this is hoop, bro. This is basketball, goddamn. You want to be an accountant about this shit. You mad as fuck.
Niggas can't even do long division. They're talking about fucking this cap, bro. Like, this shit is complicated as fuck. You can't do long division, and y'all are arguing amongst each other about shit we really don't know much about, bro. Dog, like that, I love to see that. But yeah, man, like, and anybody arguing against it, they know they would want this fucking squad flat the fuck out, bro. This motherfucker looking too delicious, and I can't. I said start the season tomorrow. No, let these old niggas sit rest. You know what I mean? And then we go jump right on these niggas' ass. You feel me? Game one. You know what I mean? But yeah.
I'm prepared to take out a second loan on the house in order to be able to afford to take the kids to one Lakers game this year because shit is about to be fucking crazy.
We got an all-star team, baby. You know what I mean? If this was 2012, nigga, 2011. Oh my God, bro.
82-0, bro.
That lined up, nigga. I would just get on here and nut all over the screen. Close shop and shake, nigga. I love this, dog.
Let's talk about some of the other teams. The other unofficial, I think most people in Southern California's East Conference team is going to end up being the Bulls. They pulled in DeMar DeRozan on a sign and trade, Compton legend. They pulled in Lonzo. And they picked up Caruso too, didn't they?
Yeah.
So they've got a lot of fan favorites from Southern California. I think the Bulls are going to be like the Hornets were this year. I think that's the Bull. I can't wait to watch Bulls games next year. That's my league pass team for sure.
Yeah, they're going to be fun as hell.
They're going to be fun as hell and still like six or seven, six or like, you know, like in the East. That the East is so thick right now, bro. You know what I mean? Like, I'm really happy for is Zach LaVine. Like, dog, I'm like, I was like, save this nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, you in Chicago, third biggest city in the fucking nation, and I can't even watch the games because, you know what I'm saying? Like, y'all are never good. You know what I mean? But not like, bro, I got to see more Zach LaVine. He has some fucking dogs next to him. They going to be solid. And I'm excited to see Lonzo playing with these guys, too. You know what I mean? Is Lonzo next to Zach LaVine, bro? Vucevic, Vucevic. You feel me? That nigga, hey, you feel me? DeMar, dog, that's a squad, bro.
Yeah, that's a squad.
You know what I mean?
I think there's nothing better as we go into what Adam Silver during the finals when he did his ESPN interview. He was saying like next year, this upcoming season is going to be our first normal season. right? Like, it was acknowledged, even though they didn't acknowledge it at the time, but they acknowledged at the end of the year that this last year was fucked up by COVID.
What's that too, bullshit? Right? Okay.
So now we're going into a regular start and season, knock on wood. You know, I mean, obviously motherfuckers are going to still have us in hell here for a little while longer, I feel like. But this is going to be normal-ish. What could be more exciting than basketball fans in New York, Chicago, and LA going crazy? You know what I mean? Like, what could be more exciting than turning on TV every night and it's a sold out fucking maniac arena in New York, Chicago, and LA, bro?
Do you think New York was more of a, like, that was this year? Will they do this? Will they be the same team that, like, in this coming season? Do you think, you know what I'm saying? Like, go ahead.
Like, will they be like another four seed again? I mean, that's.
I mean, will they be as good as they were this year? Yeah, I'm wondering.
I think they can get the four or five seed again, especially since they picked up Kemba. Like, that's probably the biggest fan favorite move of all of free agency. Knicks fans are going to go fucking crazy for Kemba. You know,
I'm glad but will Kemba be good, though? Like, he hasn't been good enough. Like, he hasn't been Kemba in a while. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. You know what I'm saying? Rose was really solid for them last year. You know what I mean? So we'll see. But I mean, Miami looking good too. Miami got a squad. They just picked up PJ Tucker, another defensive dog. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how the fuck they got PJ.
But don't you feel like the Heat are, there's a team like this in the NBA every year, right? It used to be the Rockets where you're like, they're going to be really fun during the regular season. They're going to put up a lot of great numbers. And there's three teams that you know they're not beating in the playoffs. Like, no, don't you feel because, like the heat of this team? No, you feel like
because they're coached distance? By. Because I don't know about the distance. I mean, I'm not going to fuck out of here. You know what I mean? I'm not going that far. You know what I mean? But no team wants to play their ass. You know what I mean? The Nets, the Bucks, none. And I don't really think the Sixers are that team anymore. They won the East this year. Like, I don't see anybody being afraid of their ass at all. They're beatable. You know what I mean? So, like, it's really the Knicks and the Bucks at the top as far as the upper echelon squads to me.
The Nets and the Bucks.
I mean, I'm sorry, the Nets and the Bucks. You feel what I'm saying? Yeah, so, like, yeah, I feel like the Heat could. The Bucks were tested, you know, every series. You feel what I'm saying? So, like, I can see them taking it to 6 or 7, scaring the fuck out of some Milwaukee fans. You feel me?
Yeah.
And then getting Patty Mills was pretty fucking big too. Like, KD saw Patty Mills busting that ass and then goddamn Vegas a couple weeks back and got on the phone like, yo, get him in Brooklyn. But yeah, that's a good pickup too, man.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, look at the Heat though, right? They got what, three vets. You feel what I'm saying? Like, what, they got Butler, they got Lowry, and now they got Tucker, right? You know what I'm saying? Who's a solid player, you feel me? And they young boys as dogs, you feel me? And I mean, Bam's a young boy, but Bam is a, like, all-star caliber type player.
Yeah, he's
you
a
know
made
what
man
I'm saying?
Right about now,
you know what I mean? Duncan Robinson got a shit. When it's in the clutch time, hey, scary hours. And then Tyler is half of what they think this nigga gonna be. They think this nigga gonna walk on water. They think he, like, white Jesus for real. If he's half of what they think he's gonna be, that's a good squad.
Let's talk briefly, as we enjoy doing on the Jenkins and Jones program. Let's talk briefly about the Los Angeles Clippers and the day that wasn't for the Clippers.
Oh, wow.
Oh, Kawhi, wow. You foul as fuck, bro. We heard about you, dog. You a foul nigga, man.
I didn't know he was that nigga, though. You think he just quiet and chill? This nigga dastardly is a motherfucker. Very villainous moves. Diabolical ass nigga, bro.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, so we're referring to the Ramona Shelburne report that Kawhi called Russ about teaming up and then took the info and called Paul George and was like, Russ is trying to team up. You better get out of here. And so, I mean, someone pointed out, like, Russ was basically trying to do the same thing to Paul George that Kawhi was trying to do to Russ. But it is a little different. You're trying to bring people onto your team, whatever. I did think it's not a coincidence that story was leaked, like, the day before free agency.
Yeah.
Like, the day before, people are thinking about going to the Clippers.
By Ramona Shelburne, who, let's just, you know, call it what it is she's on the Lakers side of shit with her report.
She's on the list. You know what I mean?
Yeah, her and Jeannie Buss are fucking BFFs, you know? Like, yeah, she's definitely got, you know, pro Laker England with her shit. So I ain't mad at it because fuck the Clippers, but that story, it was some foul shit, but it's still funny as fuck too. Like, how you do Russ like that, bro? Like, he trying to get out and you like, nah, you stay here, but I'm hollering at you, boy, and we gonna go to LA.
PG though, like a guy that historically has been who the fuck he is. You feel what I'm saying? Like, that's wild to me. But yeah, like, I mean, Russ is like, Russ wouldn't call anybody too. Like, if he, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like Russ is just, he seems so genuine to me. And it's like, this is who you do that to? Like, damn, bro. That shit. I was flat out shocked. Was that shocking to y'all at all?
Yes.
That was
okay. Shocking. Okay. Yeah. And then who they did it to, like I said, Russ.
I was more shocked that they did it to Russ than I was that Kawhi. Because, look, I mean, we only have the curtain pulled back slightly on what the world of tampering is really like. These dudes all know each other. They all talk all the fucking time. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm not prepared to say that what Kawhi did isn't, that LeBron hasn't done that 30 fucking times over the course of his career. You know, I mean, I don't know. Like, I wouldn't be surprised at all if those kind of conversations are very regular. But to Russ, and then to use the information to get the dude that was on the team with him back to his hometown, I really was like, but that's some Riverside Palmdale shit. You know what I mean? Like,
shout out Palmdale. You feel me?
I will say, I thought it was very hilarious that DeMar DeRozan put out there, I'd be willing to take a pay cut to come home. The Lakers, I mean, it went a different way for the Lakers, right? And so then he goes, I'm not going from $85 million to the vet minimum kind of a pay cut. It's like, fuck out of here. I would have taken 84 and two quarters, instead of $85 million. But then he's like, Chris Haynes reported he has a meeting scheduled with the Clippers. And like 30 minutes later, they do the sign and trade with the Bulls.
They said,
bro, like, this ain't it. Bro was in the meeting, like, what the fuck? Get me the fuck out. This ain't it, dog.
Right, bro.
This motherfucker bombing crazy in here, grabbing dicks and all types of shit. Like, he was like, get me the fuck out of here.
Rubbing shoulders. What made that man do that mid meeting? Like, what would make you do that? You know what I'm saying?
The number $85 million.
Okay.
You know,
shit, fuck what they talking about.
Respectfully, my time is money and I don't have enough to spare at the moment. I'll see you later. I gotta go sign this.
And
shit.
Even if it's disrespectfully, nigga, this is 85.
You're not even in my conference.
I love how DeMar's wish list, from all the reporting we got were, either going back to Los Angeles, to New York. And he winds up in Chicago. That motherfucker was in San Antonio and was like, never the fuck again. He's like, get me the fuck out of here. Get me to a real city. I am never doing this shit again, dog.
DeMar wants some fucking action. Yeah.
Bro had LA, New York, Chicago, and Miami on his wish list. You know what I mean? San Antonio broke that, man. He's like, I can't do this shit.
I think San Antonio would do that to most people. You know what I mean? Most people aren't Tim Duncan. You know what I'm
most
saying?
Most millionaires.
Right.
You know what I mean? For most millionaires who come from humble backgrounds, especially, like, I'm good, bro.
Ain't no Nobu. You know what I'm saying? Fine dining is fucking Cheesecake Factory and shit.
I do not want to hear about the fucking Riverwalk again. Let me go to where the part of the city people are excited about is just the name of the city.
Right.
No one's talking about this district in New York. It's just New York.
Yeah. Fuck you talking about. Chili's still popping in fucking San Antonio, nigga. Applebee's half off appetizers, nigga. You heard of it? Bitch. Fuck out of here, nigga. Say fucking 2003. God damn, bro. Good for him. You feel me?
Yeah.
Any other teams? I feel like we talked about everyone we wanted to talk about. Is anything else jump out at either of you? One of the things I love about betting my favorite sports is that I'm always finding new player props or game props that I like. And what's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook is you can combine these props with other bets from the same game to score an even bigger payout. It's called a same game parlay bet, and you can only find them on FanDuel. I'm watching baseball today, taking a break from the Olympics. So I'm looking at Indians, Blue Jays. I'm going to take the Blue Jays and the over 10.5 runs. But same game parlay is just one of the reasons I bet with FanDuel. It's easy to use. I love the live betting. It's easy to place your bet fast during a game if you see a trend you like. A lot of my friends are on it, and they've got fast withdrawals. You can get your winnings in as little as 24 hours. So download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today to create a same game parlay and use promo code JANJ. That's J ampersand J at sign up. New users get their first bet risk-free up to $1,000. FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win. That's promo code JANJ so they know we sent you. J ampersand J. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Virginia, or West Virginia. First online real money wager only. Minimum bet $10, max bonus $200. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14-day. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's talk about the Olympics. Let's talk about the women's basketball team. Smashed on Australia in the quarterfinals, 79-55. Stewie had 23. So the way it works is they're now in the semifinals. I think they play in 2 days. In the semifinals, if you win, you go to the gold medal game. If you lose, you go to the bronze medal game. So they're in the medal rounds effectively. You know what I mean? But I just ain't no problem on the women's side.
Dude, 53 wins in a row. So we had 21 at the first half, I think. Nigga, like, she, you know what I mean? Like, and it was easy. You know what I mean? She looked like she hadn't even put the car in sport mode yet. You feel me? She was an eco pro. You feel me? Like, the shit you put it in when you in traffic. Like, I'm just chilling. You know what I mean? Like, dog, are they the most dominant, like, sports franchise, like, ever? They haven't lost a game.
Of national teams?
Period. I mean, maybe, period. They haven't lost a game since 92. Boys to Men was the fucking number one. Your boy. Boys to Men was the number one song that year, bro. In 92.
90 fucking two.
In the road, nigga. Dog, there's grandparents now, my nigga. Like, and they haven't lost since then.
Yeah, there's events that I think you can point to where, like, I think the USA hasn't lost a men's 100 freestyle race. Like, ever or so, you know what I mean? Like, but in terms of an actual team, I don't think, because the women's soccer team just lost. They've been very, very dominant. I mean, it tends to be the American women, quite frankly. You know what I mean? Like, the talent gap between the women in America and the rest of the world is very fun in team sports. Our women's volleyball team right now, they've never won a gold medal. They've won every other medal several times. They just crushed the Dominicans in the fucking quarterfinals. So they're going to the semifinals. Like,
is this beach volleyball? Which one is this? Which volleyball?
Indoor volleyball. Yeah. Beach volleyball, we're kind of young this year, but
didn't they destroy Italy too? I mean, they came.
They're gonna end up playing probably Italy in the semis, and that's good because Italy's got the number one player in the world, so that shit.
But they beat Italy, right? I think I saw them. Yeah, they beat Italy the first time. So yeah, man. But I don't like not losing a game since 92, bro.
That's insane.
Don Staley said they know it's going to be a dogfight. They won by fucking 24, 25 points, and this is a dogfight. This is a dogfight.
And meanwhile, Greg Popovich is sitting over in the other locker room going, well, you can't take it for granted. I mean, to just expect them to blow these teams out. It's insulting to Australia. You know?
Bro, I really want to see Luka in the gold medal game.
Okay, have changed. I'm now rooting very hard for the American men because they're one win away from having to play Luka in the gold medal.
Right.
I want that.
Yeah, and I really want Luka to go like insane. The niggas, he's like, as far as like numbers, he's the best player in the Olympics right now. I think he's averaging 26 most minutes. Like, this shit matters to him. You feel me?
But listen, there's a great showdown looming there. The Americans just beat Spain 95-81. Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant, I believe, had 29 to become the all-time leading scorer in the history of the Olympics. So they're playing Australia in the semifinals on Thursday. Slovenia's in the other semifinal. They just beat Germany 94-70. I think if we get a USA Slovenia gold medal game,
boy,
you have Luka averaging like 30 in the Olympics, and you have Kevin Durant as the newly minted all-time leading Olympic scorer. That will be the most must-watch Olympic shit for basketball. I can, because normally you watch the USA men's team just to see if something cool happens.
Yeah.
But that game would be must watch.
KD, they said he might be the first player to have three gold medals too. Like, first basketball player to get three gold medals too. So they say there's like a debate that he could be the best, you know, Olympic basketball player ever. And that's what he's playing for against fucking Luka, nigga. Nigga, sign me up, baby. We get real basketball in the summer. Like, you know what I'm saying? This late, this, nigga, yes, bro.
With all due respect to the summer league.
Hey, bro, I was going to see y'all this. Yo, Draymond was talking about KD. Like, KD's the best player in the world. I think it's leaning a particular way. I know y'all saying, and I agree. We'll see what happens next year. But a lot of people leaning that way, dog. He was even leaning that, like, dog, KD's the best player in the world. You feel me? So It's getting interesting. So next year's gonna be fun too, because a lot of
Draymond's just trying to make sure he keeps his head right in fucking Tokyo, bro.
dog, he's like, that's Bron's guy. They homies, and this nigga saying that, you know what I mean? Like, come on, G.
We'll see. Bron fuck around and win 60 with these boys, though, it's gonna be a discussion, bro.
It's a big discussion for sure.
I'm so excited for the fucking NBA regular season right now.
Yeah.
And this is coming from a dude that was so ready for basketball to be over.
3 weeks ago.
Right. Now I'm like, come on. You feel me? Fuck it. I just needed a little break. I just needed a little week off. You feel me? Like, we back. We ready.
I think the Olympic shit it hit at the right time too. Do you know what I mean? Where it's like, cause I'm really salivating over a Slovenia America gold medal game on the men's, you know what
trip,
I mean?
Trip really. Off this though. Like in Australia again, like with the women though, like the best 12 players in the arena. And this is generally most games women play. They're the best 12 players. It's the whole USA women's team. Like the USA women's team is their worst player generally better than the best. You know, they're so fucking deep, dog. It's just that bro, like when like at least there will be one nigga that'll be like in betwixt. You know what I mean? Like Luka might be like the fifth best, you know what I mean? Or sixth best player. You know what I mean? Like, but like, no, nigga, like there's a large gap between the best player on the women's team and then the best player on the other team. Like, That's unimaginably dominant. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and if you just take the actual coach's view of sports, that's how it's matchups in that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's not, well, the Cowboys or this story. It's just like, how many of their players would you take before you started taking your play? You know what I mean?
And yes, if it's zero, 20-point drubbings or dog fights. You know, they were within 30. It was a hard fought win. You know what I mean? They're so good. It's crazy.
Did you guys watch the Versus last night? What'd you think?
Hell yeah. I loved it. We saw, you know, the difference right there. You know, so someone said that battle was a rap group versus a group of rappers. You know what I mean? Like the Lox, we saw that Sheik, Kiss and Styles are like brothers for real last night. You know what I mean? And those Dipset dudes, they just a bunch of motherfuckers who don't really even like each other anymore. You know what I mean? It was like the Lox were on some one band, one sound shit. Like they were all rapping each other's verses. They were each other's hype men. You know what I mean? And fucking Cam'ron sitting on a beach chair, you know, doing his nails while Juelz is rapping and shit. Like it was just a masterclass in how, you know, like I said, a rap group versus a group of rappers. And shouts to the Lox because they ran away with that shit.
I forgot the Lox had that many fucking hits. I feel like the Dipset's moment was bigger than the Lox moment. But overall, they washed them niggas up. And I realized I don't care about Juelz Santana as much as I thought I did back in the day. I didn't, because like when he was rapping, I mean, like, you know, I remember back then, I mean, he was the coolest nigga on the planet to me. You feel me? Like when he was walking through that first video, you know what I'm saying? With the Diddy Bop, you know, chest out and shit, you know, fucking size 78 jeans on and shit. You feel me? I thought he was rapping and I was like on my phone. You know what I mean? I'm like, nigga, he wasn't as important to me in that time period as I thought he was. But like when the Lox played, nigga, I felt, nigga, I'm pulling out fake guns in the fucking kitchen cooking salmon, like, you know what I mean? I mean, dog, bro. And what it really reminded me of was how special of a moment it was, like in the early, like in 2001 or 2000, when I thought Jada Kiss was the best rapper in the world for like three
lots
months.
Lots of people thought that around that time.
That was a fun time for me, bro. Like I missed that. And I would definitely sign up for a Lox concert. You know, I mean, I know they're doing it, the travel versus shit. If it wasn't COVID times, like once the world opened up, you know what I'm saying? I'm in there. I don't really even need Dipset like that. That was cool. It was cute. Like they would say, this cute. That's cute. And Jada, give Jada a show. We need him on TV.
Yeah.
We need Jada Kiss on television, dog. You feel me?
That motherfucker is charismatic.
Nigga.
he put on a show last night,
He was firing they ass up too, bro. He had heaters on deck, bro. Like, dog, this is Dipset, nigga. Like, you know what I mean? This is Cam'ron. And did that nigga get booed? Did Cam get booed while freestyling last night? Bro.
That's not what we signed up for, man. We ain't signed up for folks ain't signed up for no freestyles, bro.
They said we ain't got bars, so the computer's killed. Boom! They booed Harlem. What the fuck are you talking about in New York? He was like, "Oh shit, oh shit!" And then he dropped his heater, but it didn't have the heat no more because you just got booed, nigga.
He kind of, I really mean it to do that bullshit too. Like, that's where he first fucked up. You know, that and fucking Dipset Anthem are probably the top two Dipset songs. He fucked that up to do that bullshit. No,
just
poor execution.
Poor execution.
Poor execution.
You know what I mean? Who's calling the plays back there, nigga? Cam, you fumbled. Fumbled that easy bag, nigga. But yeah.
Yeah, but
that was
but
fun.
You know, going back to what you said, like, the Locks never quite had the moment that Dipset had. Dipset had a fucking cult following, you know, early 2000s.
Right, they were
a fucking movement for real. And I don't think Locks ever ascended it to that height, but last night we saw that, you know, Dipset, they had a moment, but the Locks got timeless shit. You know what I mean? And there's a difference there. And that's how the Locks went out too.
I mean, Jada has a fire album. Jada was the coldest nigga to me and had the biggest moment of the Locks. But the best album is like Gangsta and a Gentleman. You know what I mean? I felt like Styles P, you know what I'm saying? Like, his joint was like the second best nigga got a fucking classic album to me. You know what I mean? Like, bro, they got some shit, bro. And I really had truly forgot. And then they had that moment where they played like six bangers when it was like, they say we ain't got, you know, Cameron's like, y'all ain't got songs for the ladies. Bitch, they threw that, nigga, that was like that combo punch in the was it Tekken versus what are they like? Capcom versus Marvel fucking. That nigga with that combo, that shit was incredible. I'm like, yo, they really got shit, bro. And they got crazy features too. Come on, dog. Like, yeah, crazy.
They showed out.
What they with, like, they was with DMX and them joint. You know, they was with them. And then they was also with fucking Bad Boy too.
Yeah, they were like Bad Boy to Rough Riders.
The nigga, like, bro.
Like, the two biggest East Coast labels of the 90s and the early 2000s, right?
You can't come out of there and not have heats. The only nigga that did that was Drag On. That's the only nigga that came out of there with nothing.
It's some bullshit. And even Spit These Bars goes hard, but other than that.
Right. Yeah. Fun time.
Are you
fun
ready
time
for...
was had by all. Indeed.
Are you ready for Tenable versus Untenable?
Let's run it.
Fuck yeah. Okay.
Jackson, are you ready?
This is
board ready, baby.
Here we go. Let's go.
Okay. This is a scientific quandary for you. Okay.
Ooh, that's a word, man. I got that. I need it. I need that.
This is coming from a National Geographic
issue.
There
we go. Run me that. And that shit looked beautiful, that cover. Was it talking about the brain?
Yeah.
Okay.
Some brain shit. You ready?
Let me do it.
These are two real life cases, and I am going to ask you which one of these lives you think would be more untenable for you. One is if you had anterograde and retrograde amnesia, which means that your brain does not form any new memories past a certain point. The other is hyperthymestic syndrome, which means you have perfect recall of every single thing that has ever happened in your life. Which one of those lives is more untenable?
The latter.
You think so?
I don't want to remember every fucking thing.
You can profit off that shit though. You can go on Jeopardy, bro. Like, you can make fucking $50 million on Jeopardy. You know what I mean? Like, just fucking go on Wikipedia, just hit random article and just read every fucking thing and absorb everything. Take your ass on Jeopardy and clean the fuck up, bro.
I hear you, but nigga, like, I mean, with these memories come emotions and there has to be a balance. Like, I'm not just a nigga that's going to read and be on Jeopardy. Like, nobody is. There's a whole life surrounding that. And bro, there's a lot of shit that's very forgettable. And when I think about it, I can't wait to forget that shit again. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of that, nigga, bro. That ain't worth, I mean, I don't know. I think, and also I think, like, what is the point that you generally can't remember anything else? Like, what?
So this specific case, these are two actual people who live there. Very, very unbelievably rare. The guy who can't form new memories had a mutation of like a herpes simplex virus that literally chewed through his hippocampus. So he does not have a hippocampus, which is the party. I mean, so he literally, his brain, and I think the interview with him was done, I don't know, 20 years ago or something. 1960 happened and nothing. It's been a fucking camcorder running and not recording since then.
How old was it? How old was he when that happened?
So he knows that. He knows his wife. And I think he knows his kids. He's pleasantly surprised every time he sees his grandkids.
That's fire to me, bro. Know my wife and know my kids. Excited about my grandkids like the first time I saw them. And I mean, like, dog, so he has a good amount of
memory. He can't do anything. I mean, you know what I mean? He can't go to the store. Every time he goes to the store, he's like, why the fuck does milk cost $3 a gallon?
But he knows he needs milk, though, right?
But he knows he needs milk. Because he knows, that's right. Like, he doesn't have Alzheimer's. It's the things he has are not degenerating. There's just nothing new going on top of it. So, and they said he forms, like, he knows, I forget what the term of it is. He does not form declarative memories, which means nothing that's new information, but he can learn from habits. So, like, he goes on the same walk every day, and he says hi to the neighbors that he knows are friendly. He doesn't know their name. He doesn't remember anything about them. But they've noticed that the people that have been nice to him, he sort of gravitates toward them.
Dude, how would masturbating be if you remembered everything? You can't wait. Oh! I might lean towards that, my nigga. That might, not the 50 mil. That would be over. That shit would be insane. Like literally running films in your head, G. Nigga. This hasn't been that bad to try to like not know what milk costs. My life ain't been that bad, bro. I've been pretty blessed. I'm cool with that. Let me remember everything. Fuck that. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So that's what I thought. That's what I assumed you'd say, because the no new memories thing is scary to me. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not going to remember my kids graduating high. Like, there's so many things in your life. You just think about removing those key memories as you go forward is scary. But what I thought was really interesting was the dude who does not form new memories, his daughter said, quote, he's happy all the time. He has no stress in his life. He's never worried about the past, and he's never caught up in stressing about something that's about to happen. He is what Giannis was talking about. He's present in the moment at all times because it's the only thing that exists to him.
Right.
That low, nigga. Still the no, like, you reading a book and what? Like, you don't, like, can you, if you finish it in the
if
day,
are
you
If he watches good? Television, he can't really watch stuff that has a plot. He just watches shows with laugh tracks and stuff because the jokes in the moment are funny to him. But if he tries to watch a mystery show, even if it's 30 minutes, by the end of the show, he has no idea who the characters are.
We have a bunch of shit we don't need, though, too, like that we probably are interacting with or remembering. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know, bro. I mean, that's based upon that. I think happiness is the most important thing to me. You feel me? I think happiness for me and the people I'm around. So I feel like the latter is untenable.
The woman who remembers everything, it's literally, she wakes up in the morning and it's August today. What did we say? It was August 5th. She knows every August 5th. She knows every single thing that happened to her on every August 5th her entire life.
That sounds horrible, especially because men are such fucking trash beings. And imagine being a woman that remembers everything. Living in this world as a woman, remember, fuck that shit, bro.
So she said, quote, your memory is the way it is to protect you. Mine hasn't protected me. She remembers every bad thing that has ever happened to her with perfect sensory real life recall.
Sounds like hell, but I still think there's ways you can monetize that. So that's what I would lean towards, bro.
Money over happiness, Tyler. That's the exact opposite. I mean,
you're gonna be fucked either way with one of these, bro. But
yes, because you can't truly be happy in a marriage where you know what I'm saying? Like your wife can't be truly happy. I mean, I don't think saying?
Maybe
like
she is, to, bro. Maybe she is. If he's happy. No, dude, look.
She has to reintroduce you to your grandkids every Sunday. But, you know what I mean? Like,
Listen, bro. Let's keep it stacked. What's the grandchild experience like, nigga? Gets to the point, but bro, like, that's a great experience. But how many times are you really seeing your grandchildren? We are not fun to grandchildren after a certain age. Okay, so that's not going to be that big of a fucking issue.
I don't know, man.
You, bro. Like, I mean,
my kids, their grandmas are. Those are their best. You know what I'm saying?
I fuck with my grandma too, but like, how often do I? My grandma's way cooler than I am. But how often do I talk to my grandma? You know what I mean? Like,
but every time you talk to her, you're saying I'm John. I'm so and so. Like,
and she's excited as long as she's happy. If she's not happy, that would fuck me up. You know what I mean? But to me, bro, like being with somebody that's happy is like, so maybe you got to introduce your grandchildren a lot. But if the person is a happy person and not like, you know what I'm saying? Because constantly, and it's a joy to be around, that balances that out, bro. Because most people aren't.
That's interesting. I didn't think either of you were going to choose that.
So you thought we would both be the opposite? Because yeah. Tyler chose, okay. Because Tyler chose.
Perfect recall is you're still yourself. Right. I mean, you would still be like Tyler, John, Mike. Like, I remember everything that happened to me. I might pass an area where I got beat up and I feel like I'm getting beat up or something, but like, right. You know, but you still have the continuity of your life story. It feels like a special kind of hell to me to think it's 1960 or 1990 in my case, or 2000, whatever it is. It is like, you can't go to a movie. You can't watch a basketball game. You don't know who LeBron James. Every time you watch the TV, you're like, wow, this LeBron James guy is pretty good. Like,
that's great. That sounds incredible. Now the thing is like, bro, what do we go to therapy for? The past.
I don't go to wipe my shit clean like a fucking
No. But we go to therapy to work through those shit. And if you remember that we go to therapy to work through the things we can't figure out, or the things that we can't forget for the most part. You know what I'm saying? And dog, if you remember that shit with the emotions tied to it, nigga, bro, I don't know if that's that don't seem like that's it, bro. Like not being able to let shit go, like literally. Like your brain is supposed to, like how my therapist explains shit, thoughts should go through your brain like logs in a river and just flow through. And when thoughts are jammed up, you know what I mean? That's like causes anxiety when you can't let shit move on. When you literally remember every fucking thing you can't let that shit go, nigga, fuck that. I'd be the most anxious nigga on the planet.
She hell is. No. Yeah, she is.
Yeah, I just, so what the fuck are, one nigga's happy, one nigga ain't. And y'all, and it's really a decision here?
I mean, but he's happy because of ignorance to a degree, because he's in the dark on shit. You know
one
what I mean?
One nigga's happy and one nigga's miserable. Fuck all the other shit, nigga. I'm not trying to be miserable. You feel me? I'm just not on that shit. I would hate for herpes to eat through my fucking hippocampus.
Okay, sure.
You know what I mean? That sounds very wild. You know what I mean? You know, very black plague-ish, you know what I mean? Like, but dog, I don't want no part of that, but the result seems much better. It doesn't seem like it'd be that difficult.
I'd rather be me than be happy.
That's I mean, he's still him, like you said. I'd rather be
he's
me
him
than
in 1960. If you're you in 2005, is that you?
That nigga was. I don't want to be that nigga again, but like, I'd rather be that nigga was also happy. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, I think Tyler, I think you wouldn't want to give your memory up because your fucking memory, you have one of the best memories I've ever heard in my like known in my life. Like I always talk like how like that commercial, like I have a memory like a steel trap. That person said in that Pepsi commercial one year or something. Mm-hmm. I always thought like Tyler really is that nigga. You know what I mean? So I it makes
sense. I don't even remember the commercial you're talking about.
But like, no, like, I mean, I was my long term is like an elephant, nigga. I got crazy, you know what I'm saying? But like, Tyler remembers small details. I remember how I felt and things like that. And, you know, Tyler remembers like small statistical details of, you know, a lot of things. And so I see why you would not want to give that up, because that's a big part of you. Part of why you're so good at Twitter is because you're so fucking smart and you have so much knowledge. You know what I mean? And like, that's a big part of you. You know what I mean? For me, I'm signed up for the fun, nigga. That's what I bring into a lot of relationships. You know what I mean? I'm here. I got the jokes. You know, let's have some fun. So it kind of
makes doesn't sound cool. Fun to me, though.
I mean, it is because the nigga's happy. You feel me? The nigga's happy. The nigga, bro, who cares what you think will happen? The result is what it is. You know what I'm saying? One person is happy all the time. You know what I'm saying? And the way the daughter talked about it seemed like it seemed excited. She's excited the way you talked about it. You know what I mean? But like, I mean, dude, how hard would you be to be around? You think Char wants to be around that nigga too? The nigga that remembers every fucking thing that can't let shit go? So you might never pull Char, at least if you was the 2005 and you still got hurt. Nigga.
I mean, I feel like I still remember a lot of the arguments and shit, you know, me and my wife have had, and I don't, it hasn't made
I'm
me
not
bitter.
Talking about that. Yeah. I'm talking about
her recall is different to where she's like,
not even the argument.
She experiences those memories. It's not like she remembers them. It's like she's,
it evokes kind the of same both emotions
like,
and shit.
Yeah, they're kind of like both unstuck in time a little bit. She's everywhere at once and he's nowhere at once. You know what I mean? Like it's.
But it's not the arguments that you're having with your wife. It's the shit that's going on outside that you can't let go as well. You feel me? That's the shit that makes you miserable. The arguments with your wife probably aren't that bad. It's the other wild-ass shit that's happening in your life that's going to make you hard to be around because you can't let that shit go. So that's what I'm saying. Like, you are the normal you.
Where I was with my dad at 19 years old or some shit, the idea of that being as fresh today as it was then sounds like hell. Yeah. For sure. Because
you know what I'm saying?
Because of what she said about the way your brain works protecting you. Like that's 18 years ago for a reason, so that I don't feel that way all the time. Cause I couldn't function.
Right,
like I couldn't have kids. I couldn't be like, I couldn't be happy living that way. You know what I mean? But I also just like, I don't think I'd be me, and I can't like, you know, the guy's wife is his full-time caretaker. You know what I mean? The dude who doesn't have a memory. Cause he can't he can't drive. You know what I mean? Like he'd be like, what the fuck is this car every two blocks? You know, like, so that's the other thing. It's like, it is probably more of a burden, even if being a happy person versus being a miserable person would be better. I don't know.
Being happy, being miserable is a burden to old people. Flat the fuck out. When you're always trying to help somebody else and you can't enjoy each other, that's a fucking burden. Yeah. I'd rather have a burden that's happy. Even if I gotta drive you to the fucking, we gotta go together to the grocery store, I'm probably do that anyway. Nigga. You know what I mean? Shit. You know what I mean? Like, I'm cool with that, nigga. Like, come on, bro. I'd rather be with somebody happy than miserable person.
I say this, no matter how you feel spiritually, you feel about the soul, you feel about destiny or how important you are in the universe, something taps you on the brain wrong and it's all in that little thing floating in your skull, bro. Everything about who we think we are and what we think we value and what we think our morals are. Like, it's a story in here about a dude who got a pull through a specific part of his brain and became a different person. A completely different person. Like, you know what I mean?
Better or worse? Like, what do you mean?
Worse.
Oh.
Went from being a sweet, like, family man to, like, an abusive alcoholic, womanizing, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's this like little cube of fat floating between the bones of your skull, bro. This shit is the wildest shit ever, dog. Like, we could never know enough about the brain, man. Like, this I'm reading in this shit that when we sleep, like, sleep is necessary to our brain functioning because our brain cells contract by 60% when we're sleeping. And the spinal fluid in our body helps wash out all the like waste from your neurons and shit.
What the fuck? Body, bro?
Like, well, just while you're asleep. That happens every night while you're asleep, bro.
Sleep is a fucking mystery, bro.
Right.
REM, we need that shit to feel rested, and it's the most active our brains are, you know, during the day, which makes no fucking sense. You recharge by your brain going fucking crazy. How does that fucking even add up?
You need REM sleep physically more than you need food and water.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. And we're not here for it.
Crazy.
All right. That's Jenkins and Jones for this week. We'll be back on Monday. I don't think there's going to be any more. There's no other real big dominoes that I can think of that we're waiting on, but maybe we'll have some more NBA shit. Maybe
Schroeder.
We'll have
we are keeping an eye on Schroeder. Nobody wants that motherfucker. Goes wrong. God damn.
There's a couple hot potatoes that are still, you know, jumping around out there in Dennis Schroeder and Ben Simmons. You're right. We're still waiting to see what chair they end up sitting on when the music stops. All right. Thanks for fucking with us. Thanks for subscribing. We'll see you guys on Monday. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.